Hello?
This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And before we get going, I have to give out the 800 number in case anybody wants to call in, the free number to call. So the number to call in if you want to ask questions is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And that number is toll-free. Okay, before we get to my guest, I want to remind everybody about our conference that's coming up. The one that my publishing company puts on, this is the second year that we've done it, and we try to feature a lot of our wonderful authors. But we also have some very other people that you probably know who are keynote speakers everywhere. But this is the Transformation Conference, and it's going to be June the 16th and the 17th, just 2 weeks from today, June the 16th and the 17th, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at the Clarion Inn in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And it's 2 days of wonderful speakers. Our keynote this year is going to be PMH Atwater. And I know a lot of people out there know her. She's very famous, and she's a terrific speaker. She is the world's foremost expert on near-death experiences. And the books that she has written are considered Bibles in the field. They're referred to by experts all over the world. And she's also written books about the new children. So she's going to be doing lectures on both of these subjects at the conference. Another one of our speakers that we're very proud of, and I also had on the show, is Carol Pate. Now, Carol is the real psychic detective. She has solved over 500 murder cases and began working with the police at the age of 12. So she's been very active all her life as a professional psychic, and especially working with the police. And she does about 2 murder cases a day that she's called in to work on. She's a regular on the Court TV channel, the Psychic Detective Show. And so during her talk, she is going to be showing one of the videos that she did for that show where she helped solve a serial murder case. So I think you're going to like this. These are 2 of our speakers. We have many, many more. And my guest tonight is also going to be one of our speakers at the conference. But if anybody wants more information about the conference and the prices and how they can get call in and order tickets, go to our website. It has all the information about everything on there. And our website is www.ozarkmountain, but that's abbreviated. It's ozarkmt.com. Our toll-free number, which is 800-935-0045, for any information about the conference. And naturally, right now, all of my energy is going toward that, so I'm not traveling right now. But I have a guest tonight who is one of our authors, and she's also going to be one of the speakers at this conference. And this is Jody Felice. Are you there, Jody?
I'm here.
Okay, Jody is down in Florida, and what were you saying, that you're in the middle of a tropical storm?
We have some crazy tropical storm going on, and we're getting a lot of rain, which we actually need. We've been in a pretty severe drought down here for quite a while, so we're actually all happy about all the rain.
You had all the fires down there, didn't you?
All the fires, and we're just in what they call, I guess, the Category 3 as far as water shortage. We can't water anything. So it's been pretty bad for us down here. And storm is bringing a lot of rain, so we're happy.
Well, you want the rain, but you don't want a tropical storm to go with
it. I think we've got the best part of it. It's going to hit more North Florida, and I'm down in South, and so we're getting the rain and not the heavy wind.
That's good, because, you're in the area where the hurricanes come through.
Today is the first day of hurricane season, yes, and we already have a named storm, so about that.
I saw that on the news tonight. They were talking about the first day of the hurricane season. Well, right now we're waiting for thunderstorms to come in, so I'm hoping.
So hopefully we don't get cut off between all the storms.
That's what I was wondering. I'm sure hoping that these storms aren't going to kick together here and take us off the air.
I think we're pretty fine down on this end. I don't know about yours.
But this, we've had a lot of rain, so we don't really need it, but they're looking for a bad storm to come in tonight. So, well, we just roll with it and we see what happens.
That's if, right.
If up the air, then that everybody will know what's going on.
We'll have to catch up later.
Okay. Well, Jody is one of my authors, and she has written a book called The Enchanted Garden, and it's a cookbook, but it's not your normal cookbook. It's really very, very different because, you know, as a metaphysical publisher, I'm not going to publish just anything, just any cookbook. This one's totally different. But, Jody, before we get to the book, tell us about yourself, your background.
Okay. Well, basically, my background is the main thing that really prompted me to, you know, start this was, one thing is I have a passion for cooking. And I grew up in a family where everybody loves to cook. And everybody, you know, in my family, it's the main focus of our get-togethers. We basically, when we're sharing and cooking a meal, it's really major bonding time with them. I would guess that, you know, when I was growing up, that was really, cooking was really an expression of love. And most of my fondest memories with my family, they all revolve around food. And although we all live in different states now, whenever we get together, I mean, that is literally the first thing we discuss, the menu, what we're cooking, who's doing the cooking, what we're buying. So it was a big deal in my household. So growing up, I was very comfortable with cooking. And cooking for me is a release. And how I started to get involved with you know, how I got to the book, basically, is I had an interest in herbalism. I was suffering with some physical symptoms from, which prescription drugs were not actually helping me. And I had some friends suggest to me that the possibility that it might be certain foods that I was eating. And
well, let me tell them, too, this is what makes this book different, is because it's a cookbook based on herbs.
Based on magical herbalism.
Yeah, magical herbalism, not
yes.
Just your normal herbs.
No, not at all.
Go on with the story then. I want to
talk okay.
about the book, though, because the herbs.
Right.
What was wrong? Why did you...
I was just suffering from, this is many, many years ago, and I would get very bad migraines, joint pain, sinus conditions, and, you know, for the longest time I was trying to treat them with prescription medications.
Yeah.
And just, I never got the relief that I was looking for, and it became a chronic problem. And when I got turned on to the fact that it might be food sensitivities or food allergies, that really, you know, piqued my curiosity. I really wanted to learn what was actually causing these symptoms. They had, you know, I had friends who had suggested to try herbs to relieve my symptoms, but, you know, I knew that that wasn't going to be enough. I wanted to really find out what was the cause of this, and that really led me to doing some research, and everything that I really found about anything on food sensitivities, one of the very first things that you have to do is start to pay attention to what I was eating. And ironically, I love to cook and also love to eat, but I never really paid attention to the reactions that I got from food before. So this really forced me to get focused and become more aware of what I was eating. And I decided to start keeping a journal, basically, on, you know, every ingredient and anything I cooked with. I started writing down what the ingredient was, and then also made note of, you know, what the food, how it affected me and the way I felt afterwards. But interestingly enough, in the interim, I also started to become aware of the that certain foods would also invoke specific emotional reactions in me. It was like before I would taste the food, even when I was cooking, the aromas would stimulate, you know, my senses and awaken memories that always would give me a feeling of being safe and loved. It seemed to satisfy a need in me, other than more than a physical level.
Yeah.
And what really came to me was that was exactly what these herbs and plants really wanted us to feel, like safe and loved. So they seem to offer the opportunity to keep or restore the balance in our lives. So along with writing down the physical symptoms, I also started to keep a journal on how these plants made me feel emotionally.
Yeah.
And I began to, you know, realize every time I would use the same ingredient that it would give me the same feeling as before. Did you want me to give you some examples?
Well, I was going to say, the person I had on last week, she wrote the book about herbs, but it was the encyclopedia on herbs, and it was coming from the medicinal value.
Yes.
You're coming from a different viewpoint, though, aren't you?
Yes, I am. As I said, what happened was I started to discover that these plants were evoking, you know, really specific emotional reactions in me. And what happened was when my physical symptoms started to heal by changing the certain foods in my diet, I started to become more aware of what was making me feel bad. So I knew that I could either avoid that or limit that in my diet.
Uh-huh.
But it still left me feeling curious about the emotional reactions that I was getting from certain foods.
Yeah, we wouldn't think about that. You know, we just eat and we don't think about it affecting us. That
exactly. Much. And I, you know, most of my life, you know, basically that's the way I was as well until I started to have to be forced to pay attention to what I was eating.
Well, one thing I want to bring up, too, you know, you would think if you were so, you know, fascinated by food and eating, your picture, you're very thin.
I'm thin. I'm very healthy. One of the things that I love to eat and cook, but I also do it in moderation. I certainly have my days I go overboard like everybody else, but for the most part, I do. That's the beauty about it, being able to eat anything, just in moderation. And I do exercise very regularly, and have done that all of my life. So that's really helps me considerable, and a good metabolism. I'll thank my family for that. so.
That's what I was thinking, that you were talking about your whole life, you know, your family evolved around food, and I would think you would be heavy, but you're really not.
No, and, you know, really pretty much nobody in my family in that respect. We I guess, again, a good metabolism helps there. But it's eating in moderation that I believe that, you know, really is the key to that.
But do you think the combination of these foods also help to keep you thin?
I would think as long as you, I mean, anything, nothing is going to help you keep thin if you overindulge.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
So it's basically, you know, I think that's a personal, you want to be able to be healthy. You eat certain foods to do that. I mean, one of the things that this book touches more on the emotional and spiritual attributes of all these plants and herbs. I do not get into the medicinal attributes of them at all.
The other author did, because that was her life. She was an herbalist.
Right.
So you're coming at it from a different direction to where you're looking at the how the herbs affect us in our food.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
All right, but that's one thing too. Are you a vegetarian?
I'm not a vegetarian. I love my meat.
That's what I was wondering. In the cookbook, I didn't see very many recipes that had meat in them. So.
I think there is a variety of in there. There's lots of I have recipes in there for steak, for chicken, for pork, for there's a variety in there.
Okay, so anyway, you're not switching over to vegetables entirely then.
No, you know, that's the beauty of this. This is, maybe I should just give you, you know, to tell you what magical herbalism really is.
Yeah, and,
first off, magic definition is the use of natural energies to bring about needed change. And
yeah.
Magic gets its power from the earth. And herb magic is just a specialized form that utilizes the powers of the plant to manifest specific personal transformation. And it really consists of choosing, preparing, and eating certain foods based on their energies and your specific need or desire. And
Does that mean sometimes you'll have a craving for certain things, or what?
In other words, how these plants really help you. Is that what you're asking me?
Well, that's what I was wondering. You said if according to your needs, I was wondering if somebody had a craving for a certain thing.
Well, what I mean by a need would be a desire. Actually, that's probably a better way to say that.
Yeah.
You know, we all have desires, and I need or a desire, meaning what magical herbalism is trying to teach us is how to change our lives in a positive way. And, you know, the theory of magical herbalism is very similar to aromatherapy. Most of us have heard of that, and aromatherapy utilizes the powers of each plant, and through its use and your intention, it assists you in achieving your desired result. And magical herbalism is just a different form in which to utilize the powers of these plants. The purpose of this book really is because I love to cook, and this is the way I choose to be able to get this out or spread the word, so to speak, is the book is really to promote emotional and spiritual growth through cooking.
Uh-huh.
And the book also promotes all the positive energies they have. And the recipes that follow really provide the tools for us to connect with these energies so they can allow them to enhance our ability to create the positive change. So the cooking really... the cooking and the eating part is not as essential as the eating part is, or the awareness part, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I think it boils down to you want everybody to enjoy their food anyway, not to just gulp it down and go running off somewhere.
right. And basically, what I'd really like to touch upon is how these plants really help us create positive change. And, as I mentioned, herb magic consists of certain foods based on their unique energies and your specific need. If you're lucky enough to know what you want or need or what your desire is, then you would choose or you would use this book as a guide to help you choose foods that would enhance the effectiveness of your desired outcome. And because when we eat, our bodies really absorb these energies. So it's very much like taking vitamins and supplements. We take vitamins and supplements for specific physical needs, and we know each vitamin and supplement has a specific purpose that addresses a physical need, and we take these vitamins to help us obtain our overall good health. And once we take them, we forget about it. We don't think all day, is the calcium really helping our bones get stronger? We just, we trust in the purpose of the vitamin, and we surrender it. It's the same method here that applies to these plant energies. You would identify... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I noticed in the book it's not just herbs. You're talking about vegetables and fruit also.
All plants, really. Basically plants, fruits, vegetables, herbs, and spices. Those are all... Anything that's... This is all really about earth energy, Mother Earth energy. So these things come from the earth, and these all possess not only medicinal attributes, but all these wonderful, spiritual, emotional attributes as well that we really we know very little about, actually. It's kind of hidden knowledge. But, in my quest to try to find out, I wanted to really find out if there was anything out there that I was getting these intuitive messages or feelings, and I wanted to know if there literally was anything out there that correlated with that. Yeah. You know, when I was doing research, I was only, most of the books I found, or all the books rather, were all about medicinal attributes of the plants.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I really got very frustrated after doing, you know, if, I would say years of trying to find information on what I was feeling, and really basically started to give up on it, and until a friend out of the blue called me, I hadn't seen in a long time, and he was in a bookstore, and he came across a book called Magical Herbalism, and he offered to pick the book up, and as soon as I started reading that book, I knew, I found exactly, you know, what I was looking for, which of course led me...
This was the way to go.
It was the way to go. It validated. It validated what I was, you know, feeling, which is, you know, I didn't think, I started to think, well, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm just feeling this. It's crazy. I'm not going to tell anybody.
But, you know, in my work, we keep being told, you know, that they say the best food of all for everybody is live food.
Is live food?
Live food. And by that they mean fresh fruits and vegetables, raw fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Yes, I mean, I think that's very true, but I, being a cook, I'm not going to disagree. I don't know enough about it to even lend an opinion about it, or it is, I think that's a personal choice. There's a lot of books on eating raw, as I guess they say.
Otherwise, it'd just be salads all the time.
That would be pretty boring.
But you said a while ago you had some examples you wanted to give of different foods and how they affect the body or what you could eat them for or use the herbs for.
Well, I wouldn't say how it affects the body. It was more of a feeling that, you know, one of my favorite herbs is basil. And, I mean, I love basil the way it tastes, I'm sure as many of us do. And but what I noticed every time I would use basil, it would always give me the sense of power. And then when I would smell it, it would give me a sense of purpose and determination. And then when I went to taste it, it always brought me the sense of kindness. And not only would I get a sense of these collective energies, but I also got a very strong sense of their overall intention. And when I would tune in more, for basil, really the gift, I call it the gift, the intention or the gift to me is the same thing, which is, it was courage. So, you know, specific herbs, plants, and all these things would give me specific feelings like that all the time. And this is when I started to feel things, I would write them down and keep a journal on that. And it really began to make me feel very good, that I was really absorbing all this positive energy in my meals.
Yeah.
And at the time, before I had not found the information on this, as I said, I just kept this to myself because I wasn't sure if I was crazy or not. But I knew what I was feeling, and being a very spiritual and intuitive person, I knew that there was some validity to it, whether there was any actual knowledge to back me up or not.
But it sounds like you were very much in tune with your body if you were able to pick up on these subtle feelings like that.
Yes. Well, that's where it helped when I started to try to pay attention to my physical symptoms. And that's what really led me to pay attention to everything, because I really needed to find out what was causing my physical symptoms. And, you know, we eat so many things in the course of a day that it could be virtually impossible to pinpoint one particular food that was the culprit. So that's what forced me to not only pay attention, but to keep a journal of it, so I can go back and say, okay, that did that, and that didn't do that.
Yeah, because that's the hard part when somebody's allergic to something, is trying to figure out what it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
So all that part anyway. But in the book, you call these recipes your gifts rather than a recipe.
Most people would call it an intention. I call it the gift that they have to offer us. And I really felt that, you know, as this started to go along and I started to really get more in tune to this, I really felt that that's exactly what that was This was an offering to us. This was a gift from them to us, to more than an intention, but yet their intention was to offer this gift to us, if that makes sense.
Okay, do you have any more examples? Other examples of different herbs.
Yes, I do. There are a couple of ways that I was just going to try to explain basically how the magic actually works.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that would be able to, you know, then I can give an example based on that.
Yeah, that's good. Explain how the magic works.
How the magic actually works is it's very simple. I mean, this is not rocket science here.
Not brain surgery, not rocket science.
No. Okay. Very simple. The first thing you have to do is empower your plant. And what empowering your plant does is aligns the vibrations of the plant with your intention or your desire, your need, whatever you want to call it. And this process increases the effectiveness of the magic. And there really are only three things you need to activate the magic. The first is your personal power, which is personal power is the energy that sustains our bodies. And we release our personal power through movement of any form, be it physical exercise or as well as through our thoughts and visualizations. And two, you need, of course, the awareness of the plant energy that best matches your intention or need. And three, most importantly, you need faith. But what you would do is you would, by infusing your energy or your personal power with the plant, you would then activate and give the magic energy direction, enabling it to, you know, create your desired outcome. So before you would start to cook, you would take your plant or take a few minutes or herb or fruit or vegetable, whatever it is that you're using, and you just hold it in your hands and visualize your desired result and send it into the plant. Then when you're ready, you would add the enchanted plant into the recipe. These plants are very powerful on their own. However, their powers and your awareness are not enough. You must activate the magic with your intention, which this allows it to fulfill its purpose.
Oh, otherwise it just remains inert?
Right. And the best example I can give is it's like having your car parked in the driveway. You know, the tank is full of gas, the keys are in the ignition, you know, you're aware of the purpose of the car and what it provides for you, but unless you go and start up the car, it's just going to be sitting in the driveway. So it's really important. The key to this whole concept here is your participation. It's really a requirement.
But I was just thinking, usually your main intention when you're cooking is just to eat because you're hungry.
Well, yes, that's true, but this is the purpose of the book. Now, if you become aware of the fact that you have all this wonderful positive emotional and spiritual energy available to you, along with these, because all of these herbs and plants provide medicinal purposes too, so it's a win-win situation for you.
Right.
And so you may not be aware, most of us are not aware of either or. We just like the taste of a food, we eat it, we're not really concerned about if it's going to be healthy or not or help us. Hopefully we all are concerned about keeping ourselves healthy. But one of the reasons I felt a need for this book was because there was such little information and it was so difficult for me to uncover. And I really just felt that, you know, we definitely have enough information bombarding us about our physical well-being, but very little about our emotional and spiritual needs. And, you know, although our physical, it's extremely important to take excellent care of our physical bodies, it really is just as equally as important to take care of our emotional and spiritual needs.
Yeah.
And what I really like about cooking the most is one of the things, as I said earlier, cooking and preparing food requires focus. And so when I'm cooking, I am completely absorbed in what I'm doing. I literally tune everything out and, you know, I actually just stay in the moment. And when you're in the moment, your awareness is very heightened. So what better time to really absorb through your senses all of these powerful and positive energy of the plant than while you're cooking? So when we need and want something really badly enough, all of our personal power is usually focused on that. So for instance, if I was concerned about my finances and I wanted or needed to make more money, this would probably be weighing very heavily on my mind. And I would be spending an awful lot of time focusing on my desire how to make more money.
Yeah.
And since my awareness is heightened because I'm cooking, this is the perfect time to choose foods that would be aligned with my desire.
Okay, what kind of food are aligned with that desire?
Well, I know, because it's in my book, that sesame seeds offers us the gift of prosperity.
Yeah.
It holds the energy of desire, opportunity, power, and abundance.
Well, so, what was the herb?
Sesame seeds. It's a spice. Sesame seeds.
Sesame seeds.
Yes.
Sorry. Sesame seeds.
Sesame seeds,
they're
yes.
In bread, you know, hamburger buns and things like that.
Yes, there you go.
So that is something that you would you could use?
Yes. I mean, that because of its energy, that the gift that it offers, its main offering to us, is the gift of prosperity. And the minor energies that it
That's something I don't think people would think about that, but
nope.
I know a lot of people are always looking for prosperity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would use the sesame seeds in a recipe or create one using the sesame seeds as the main ingredient. That's your main ingredient. The other ingredients that go into a recipe are also very important. They offer their own unique energy that assists or aids the main energy. The powers of the sesame seeds then are enhanced by all the other minor energies. They're like little additional helpers. They assist in manifesting your desire.
Yeah.
And in my book, I offer a recipe for sesame seeds called sesame stir fry.
And because I was thinking the only way I knew about using it was just in the bun, but I'm thinking, how are you going to put it in your food?
Oh, there are many ways to use sesame seeds.
I make stir fry a lot, so that would be one.
It's excellent. It's a very tasty. It's a really very tasty nut. It's a spice, actually.
Well, what other herbs are for a specific purpose like that?
Some of the other ingredients that go into that dish are carrots. So carrots offer us the gift of inner power. So if your desire is to increase your finances, you know, inner power gives us the confidence to create. And onions also go into that dish. So onions gives us with hope, which allows us the possibilities to create. Garlic gives us with release, which helps us let go of the fear and concentrate on our desire.
Mm.
And there's snow peas in that recipe, which gives us with attraction. And this, of course, brings us the opportunities. There's peppers in there that gives us with expression, which gives us the freedom to create. And salt gives us with self-worth, and pepper gives us the gift of responsibility. So you can kind of start to see how this works a little bit. This is a collaborative effort. It's collective energies coming together really for the sole purpose of helping you manifest your desired result.
Okay, so that's a recipe to manifest money.
Right, exactly.
All right.
But there are two ways the magic can work for you. You know, one is in a tangible way, as we just said, if you're looking to manifest money, and the other is in an intangible way, which would be more emotional healing. And, you know, these plants provide us with the power of their energies to help us keep a balance within our lives. And you can use these plants in the same way you might use a multivitamin, you know, overall optimal health, nothing specifically wrong, but you want to keep an emotional balance within your life. Or you can use them for a specific desire, like the money, in which case you would create a recipe to match your intention, like the example I just gave you about the sesame seeds. And
I know in the book you talk about all the different herbs and the different vegetables and fruits. fruits and what each one represents.
Yes.
So people could read that and just pick out what they want then.
Exactly. What I try to do is provide them, the recipes are really the tools for them, and I provide, at the very least, two recipes, or I try to, per plant or herb. But, of course, you don't have to use my recipes. They can use their own recipes. It's not a matter of just being mine. It's not a specific formula.
They can come up with their own witch's brew.
Exactly. We don't want to say that now, do we?
Okay.
But yes, that is the concept of it. They can really create their own magic in their own homes. And that really is one of the specific reasons I decided to create this. I used to teach cooking classes on the side in my home. Because when I first discovered this, and I did eventually uncover the knowledge, I did want to share this information, and the best way I thought, or the best opportunity to do that, was to do that through cooking, which I love, and to teach people one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was I realized that I wanted to also reach people who were not able, obviously, to get to my class, and I wanted to be able to give them the benefit of creating, their own magic in their own home. And the book really, the birth of the book really came from that. I just compiled all of my information, recipes that I, every recipe in that book is recipes I grew up with and from friends, families, and from wherever that I cook today and always cooked. So
yeah,
it's a very no one has to be, like I said, no one has to use my particular recipes. And I do want to point out too, because I'm sure someone's going to say, I hate to cook. So I want to make it clear that, cooking is what really helps you infuse your energy with the plant. But for those of us who don't like to cook, or we eat out a lot, or maybe we have someone else doing our cooking for us,
yeah,
you still do get the benefit of these plant energies. It's really the awareness that counts, and knowing that what they have to offer will allow you to absorb their power. However, the difference would be if you're not doing the actual cooking, you're not empowering with your intention, so it's not personalized to your desire. So it would be more the benefit would be more used in a general way. And I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I'll certainly take all the positive energy I'm offered.
Yeah, because if you weren't doing the cooking, you wouldn't be focusing your energy into the food that way.
Exactly. I've
heard a lot about ginger. They said ginger is good for a lot of different things.
Ginger, and a medicinal purpose. I don't have the medicinal reasons, but yes.
In cooking, too, they said you could use it.
Yes, I have some recipes in there with ginger, which I believe it's a chicken and ginger stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find that in my head and have that in front of me. Ingredients for you.
What are the properties of ginger that the characteristics of it?
Let's see. I am trying to just find all the energies that it's got to offer.
Because that's one I've heard a lot about. They said it would be good to use it in a lot of foods.
For ginger? For medicinal purposes?
That what?
Did you say for medicinal purposes?
Well, no. People said, either way, it's supposed to be good for the body. You put it into the food, and I just wondered what you found in your work about ginger.
I'm just going to grab the page so I can speak to you
about
it.
I would pull something that you didn't have right there.
That's okay. I found it. ginger actually offers us the gift of forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Okay. Yes. And to me, when I cook with ginger, these are the energies that I've strongly felt that they had to offer us, and it offered the energy of potential, success, compassion, and choice.
Uh-huh.
And from those energies, I got the overall sense or gift that they wanted to offer was forgiveness.
Okay. But, you know, of course, all of these are doing things to the body anyway because they are very good for the body.
Yes. That's the beauty of this is, you know, all the foods that we've been eating all along for our physical well-being are these foods also nurture our emotional and spiritual needs as well. So you do not have to go shopping for any particular foods. There's no out-of-the-way ingredient here. I am quite sure literally everyone has most of these ingredients in their refrigerator or cabinets now and cook with them on a daily basis if you do cook. So
yeah.
These are not there's nothing unique or hard to find about anything here. These are just everyday ingredients that most of us use if we are cooking.
You know, one thing I found was fascinating. I was in Dubai about a year ago, you know, in the Middle East, and they had the spice markets.
Yes.
And, oh, that was wonderful. All along the streets, they had these huge bags of each different spice. And, you know, you can imagine the smells of a market like that.
I can imagine. Wow. If you were tuned in and were aware of the energies they had to offer, they probably would have overwhelmed you.
But it's the, these are fresh, too. You know, they go in and you just buy a bag full and take it home, you know. But these, you can imagine all of that fresh spice and the odors in that place. And it's just fantastic. It was you talk about aromatherapy. That's really what it was.
Well, that's why I said this cooking is, you know, cooking in general would be, you know, aromatherapy. So a lot of these senses or intuitive feelings I would get or channeled messages would really come through, you know, start with the smell.
Yeah.
I mean, I would really, you know, get a lot of feeling and information based just on smelling these plants and herbs. And then when I would taste them and eat them, it would really just bring it to, you know, right to where the message was strong and what they had to say.
Well, is there any herbs or anything you found that were not good for us to use?
I personally have not. I mean, I stuck to, for the most part, herbs that were strictly used for culinary purposes.
Yeah.
And I have not come across one. I'm sure, you know, someone might call in and say that there is. But I have not personally come across any herb or plant that is not good for us. Anything that comes from the earth is natural energy and powerful energy is good for us. I know that there are a lot of medicinal plants that you wouldn't use for culinary that could be harmful, you know. And I don't really have the knowledge to go into telling you which ones are those. But as far as culinary, I personally have not come across anyone that I know of that would cause you harm. This is all about positive energy.
I know one that I don't like, and that's the hot peppers.
Well, then you don't have to eat them. That's the beauty of it.
The jalapenos are those little red chili peppers.
Oh, and see, and I love hot and spicy. But that's the thing here, too. This is all, you know, you can't be afraid to adjust any of these recipes to your taste, your own taste. So I do have recipes in there for hot peppers. And you know, if you don't like hot peppers, you can use mild peppers, you know, and use the same recipe. So you certainly cook should never be afraid, especially if you're a beginner cook, you know. You should never be afraid to adjust it.
In many parts of the world, they use a lot of spices and lot of very, hot things like that, too.
Yes, they do. I'm sure, especially if you've been traveling to where they've got all the spices out, yes.
Oh, yeah, and I've been to India last year, too, and, of course, the food there is very spicy.
Palates are so used to that, so that's normal to them.
So, you know, there can be pros and cons and all of that, I guess.
Clears your sinuses right out, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, like even horseradish to me, it opens up your sinuses.
Yes, it does.
Okay, but is there any other examples you want to give on there?
Sure, I can give you, I have, let's see.
We got about 10 minutes left. I'm
okay. No problem. Let's see here. I do have, there was a time in my life, I should say, that I'll preface it. You know, if you don't know what your need or, because we talked about knowing what your need or desire is and then accustoming a recipe to that. If you don't know what your need is or your desire, and, you know, a lot of us don't, but we know something's out of balance. We just don't know what the cause is.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know.
Right. We always hear that term emotional eating, and it's usually regarding reasons we may overindulge in food. And I refer to it as uncovering your true need or desire. You know, we all have our favorite foods we keep in the fridge and cook with maybe on a regular basis. For me, it's garlic and onions. That's pretty much a staple in my cooking. There's very few meals I cook without that. But sometimes I find myself choosing like the same fruits, vegetables, and spices over and over again for only maybe a certain period of time. So, for instance, one of those was, I mean, I love broccoli. It's probably one of my favorite vegetables.
Yeah.
But there was a time I would cook broccoli with my meal every night for about 3 months straight. And I don't know what suddenly happened that made me realize I was doing that. But when I did, I went to my journal, and I wanted to see what I had written down about broccoli. And it was interesting. Broccoli holds the energy of humor, stimulation, enrichment, and happiness, and it offered the gift of laughter. So as soon as I read that, I knew exactly, you know, why I wanted to keep eating broccoli. It was a time in my life that I was going through some personal difficulties, and of course, this time it was very stressful and very draining in my life. And the energy of the broccoli offered me humor, which reminded me of the lighter side. And it also offered me stimulation, which really helped me to feel more inspired, and happiness and enrichment to remind me to be grateful for all the blessings I had in my life. So it seemed that even before I knew it, my spirit knew really what I was in need of, and because of my awareness of these energies, that helped me uncover my true need, which in this case was laughter.
Uh-huh.
And laughter feels good, and of course it releases the tension and stress in a situation. So now that I knew what I needed, I, along with addressing the area, that particular area in my life, then I began to choose other foods with energies that would help me restore the balance I needed, again, like taking a vitamin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking, too, about people talk about comfort foods.
Right.
When they're feeling down, there's some foods that you want to eat even though they're not good for you.
Exactly. And that's basically what I'm talking about. You know, when you feel, when we have particular cravings for things, you know, if you start really paying attention to that and of course armed with the knowledge of the emotional energy they have to offer, you really can, you know, uncover a lot of emotional imbalances in your life that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been talking about how great these foods are, and, you know, you might think all these foods are all this positive energy. You know, the more you eat, they will double your power. And, you know, basically, it's really the opposite of that. It's, you know, in fact, if you can, you know, eat or overindulge, it really does the opposite. It weakens it. You know, overindulgence creates an overload on our senses, which really numbs and blocks our feelings. And then when we can't feel, you know, we can't uncover what we need, or we can't begin to address it.
Yeah, because people have cravings for sweets or salt, and you can't overdo anything.
Exactly. I have another example would be, there's a page in the book on nuts, and the energy that the nuts have to offer, what did I do with that? I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm watching the clock, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're running out of time here.
We have a little bit of time. I wanted to make a remark, though.
Okay.
Okay, you know, Jody, as you've been talking, you know, in my work, I'm a hypnotherapist, and so I deal a lot with reincarnation. I wouldn't be surprised if you hadn't had some past lives as an herbalist.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
You know, I've had many people go back to lifetimes when they were what they used to call the granny woman, living in a little hut in the woods and they go out in the woods and pick all the herbs and come back and cook them and everything. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was what you had done before.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised because it's really something that I get a great deal of pleasure out of. And I live alone, so I do cook for myself quite a bit. So it's just a very nurturing and, you know, a loving thing you can do for yourself. And, of course, if you're, you know, anybody else, you're sharing a meal. You know, sharing a meal, you're sharing your energy. So,
But that, you know, that kind of thing would also stimulate an interest in that in this life.
Exactly.
You know where the interest comes from because they've been there, done that. You know?
Right.
But also, you probably know about the nature spirits, too, don't you?
I have a fascination with them. I mean, I wouldn't go into, you know, I wouldn't want to give a talk on them, but I love the fairy. I think I was a former fairy.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Because if you don't know, when you meet me, I'm short.
I was going to say that. I've had people go into past lives where they were nature spirits and the little people, the fairies, the gnomes, because you're talking about the magic in the
past.
To me, that would be very fitting.
I connect I do. I connect with the elemental elements out there. I have a fascination. I love gardening too. So my home, inside and out, is filled with plants, and it's very.
You've probably been there, done that. And that's what the whole thing is about.
Yes, I have.
And that's what makes people be interested in things again. And sometimes it's an irrational interest because they don't know where it came from.
Yeah, I think it took me a while to uncover this, but yes, I always knew that I had, you know, before I was aware of, you know, what we're talking about now, I certainly, since a child, I've loved being surrounded by gardens and plants. I couldn't imagine not living. That's why I love to live in South Florida, because I can have it all year round.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're coming up to the hour, so I think we're going to be running out of time. He told me to go a little longer because we started a little later.
Okay.
But I do want to mention the book is, Jody Felice's book is called The Enchanted Garden.
Yes.
And it's all about herbs and the magical power of herbs and how you can use them in your food and your cooking.
Yes.
Tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to reach you.
You can reach me by email, and that would be JOF1136@AOL.com.
Okay, say it again.
J as in Jody, O, F as in Frank, E as in Eric, 1136@AOL.com.
Okay.
Or, of course, through your website.
Yeah, okay, but if you want to get a hold of Jody. Now, the book right now is at the, it's supposed to be en route, so we're just really hoping it's going here.
I'm really hoping, too.
In time for the conference.
Yes.
Because we do want to have it there, because you're going to be a speaker there, and you're going to be talking about the magical property of herbs and vegetables at the conference.
I am. And I'm going to be giving out a yummy example, too, so anybody who wants to attend will be very, very happy.
Okay. But you probably won't be able to find the book yet in the bookstore, but it will be there within a month anyway, by the time we get it and the distributors get it, called The Enchanted Garden. But we really hope people will come to the conference. It's the Transformational Conference, and it's going to be June 16th and 17th at the Clarion Inn in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Okay, now we're going to have to be saying goodbye. But, Jody, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Oh, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Okay, well, now I'm going to say goodbye to everybody.